Call it then.
This meeting is called to order at 3:32 on May 17. We need to give roll call. Susie Mitchell, Vice President.
Jen Scott.
Joe Schell.
Chris Benjamin.
Alan Stafford.
Steve Burke.
Martin Cosgrove.
Chris Moody.
Patricia Oliphant.
First item on the agenda, approval of board minutes from last week. Does anybody have any comments or changes? No.
Wait. Just take a minute, everyone. I think it's good. Okay.
I move that they accept it.
Chair Schell moves for approval of the minutes. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second, Marty Cosgrove. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Director's reports.
Customarily, we have a student government report, and we'll probably hear maybe an abbreviated version of that. But tonight, we also thought that we would bring in Senor Cameron Smith and some of the students that he took on a visit and a tour this spring, and they're going to tell you about what they did. So that's going to be the school report.
Thank you very much, Dr. Oliphant. So again, I'm Cameron Smith, or Senor Smith, and I have with me four wonderful students, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
I'm Josh Holmes, I'm 10th grader.
I'm Austin Ross, I'm a senior.
My name is Connor Hall, I'm a 10th grader.
I'm Sarah Bixler, and I'm also a senior.
And these are four of our 15 student travelers that went on a amazing adventure with myself and a couple other teachers to the Dominican Republic over spring break. It was via a company called EF Tours, or Education First Tours. So I have here a informal slideshow presentation, and I really invite the students to take the lead on this, to really talk about what they gained from the experience and some possibilities maybe for the future moving forward. So I will run the computer and let these awesome young travelers kind of take the lead.
Do you want us to sit here or stand over there with you?
Yep. Over here.
Stand here.
We'd love to see you guys. Yeah.
So why don't you guys start off by describing briefly these first four pictures.
All right, so to give you a short background of what service learning what a service learning tour actually entails. It's not like the trip that we took with EF in junior year, in which I also attended, where it was a tourism trip. The primary purpose of this is a cultural immersion experience, specifically so that you learn and work within the communities, in this case, a Spanish-speaking country, the Dominican Republic, to not only give you a better idea of a different global culture, which syncs really well with International Baccalaureate's international mindedness point, but also so that you can have a better viewpoint of the world outside of your local community. While we were there, we focused on doing service work, learning and integrating with the community, as well as having some brief recreational periods, primarily towards the end of the trip, so that we still had an enjoyable, fun time.
So some of these photos, this photo was one of the first days that we were actually in the community of Angostura, which was up in the mountains. We went into a lady's house, and we were able to see, this is their kitchen, and we were looking primarily at the stove, and a group from the Peace Corps, I think, was there a few months or a few years earlier building these stoves, which is more eco-friendly and healthier for the people who actually work in front of the stove. So we got to see how that has sort of changed the community. The other picture over there is all of us, that's our group, and then here you can see some of the girls who were local in the community, and we made signs with them that said stuff like put the trash in the trash can, things like that, to help promote sustainability and other eco-friendly topics. And then here, down here, we have Josh and go for it.
So in this picture, around the same day that I think all this happened, we went to the locals' house while they were making food, and they were making completely unique food that it's not really found in the US. So it was really cool to see how they make things compared to how we make things. So in this picture, I was helping to make habas conduce, which is this type of root that they mash up in this, they have to all by themselves, you know, like this or anything, so they mash up in a bowl of roots, then they heat it under this stove, homemade stove, stone stove with fire underneath, so you can't see it, but they put heated rocks underneath, so it heats the top of the stove, so it heats the bowl, and you mix it up, and then it is pretty much like a sweet potato soup. That was really good. Mm-hmm. So I got to tell them like that, which was really cool.
And maybe ask them to talk a little bit about the reflection time that we had at night, and that's leading Connor into the last picture.
And on the end picture over here, we're sitting on the balcony of our hotel in Santo Domingo when we flew in. This is the first place we stayed at on our trip. This was during reflection time over at night. We got to see, actually, that's a beautiful view over the city. And we got to sit there, and Louise was telling us all about how we can gain things from this trip. Not only physically, we can't just physically help people, we have to be emotionally ready to see all the things we're going to see, all the poverty and all these such things. And we also have to be open-minded towards all the experiences we're going to experience. So Louise was telling us a lot about how we can look into this trip as more of an educational and a just overwhelmingly emotional time than just fun, I guess you could say. And it was, reflection time was honestly one of my favorite times of the trip, because we really got to look back on everything we did throughout that day and how many people we've really helped. Even though it doesn't seem like many, it really impacted an entire community, and that was actually a fantastic experience.
So would you mind pass out the field journals? You know, just kind of all those materials you kind of spread around. Each student had a field journal, which was one of my personal favorite parts, and I invite you just to take a quick look through it. This company, EF Tours, does a great job of encouraging, again, students to be reflective, as you've already heard, and to really be mindful of the community in which they're in contact with. So you're welcome to look through that. And Justin's also going to pass out the student-written goals that they wrote on that first night on this beautiful balcony. And then 9 days later, at the last share-out session, it was neat to hear. I would read the goal and allow the student to self-identify, because they didn't have their real names written on it. And they could then say how they accomplished that goal or how they tried to accomplish that goal. And just, that last night of reflection was one of my highlights. I have on this slide, just showing you, well, I'll let you look at those materials for a moment.
Can I make a point about reflections? So something unique about EF Tours, and I should say I'm someone who's traveled a lot with my church, with the Boy Scouts, and this trip was truly special because they have a major focus on personal development, and they do a really good job of the program. I work at a local summer camp, Camp Arrowhead, and they also have a similar goal with personal development. And everything that they do along the way really focuses on creating a change in that student. And I think it's fair to say that every single traveler who went, not just the students, but also the adults, had some form of, not like complete, total paradigm shift, but it did affect you. It changed how you perceive the world around you and how we acted. And all of these components, reflections that help cement not just what you did, but your reaction to them, the journals that serve as a physical reminder, not just of, you know, some of the crazy things of that, like rub dirt in here, but it does help you cement those memories and then look back months, years, decades later and actually be able to recall, oh, well, on this day we went to Yarabacoa, we went to we went to this place to whitewater raft. We went to a coffee plantation that's a supplier for some domestic companies. And it all really has a major impact on every student traveler.
Excellent.
So I just have a quick question, just because you just said something that I was thinking about. So I guess for each of you, culturally, what was the biggest impact when you got there? I mean, you were writing about all these reflections, so what was the one thing that stood out to you?
I think for me it was the immersion in Spanish. No one spoke English, it was mostly Spanish. Yeah. Even though we do learn Spanish here, it helped a lot. It's different when you actually have to, no one spoke English, so.
It's a real thing.
So it was really cool to be able to, it helped me a lot, I think, to learn Spanish, so I was forced to just go through it, and they speak so fast, so you have to listen. Do what you can, but basically the change in language is really big.
it was also really interesting having the chance to actually talk with some of the kids our age in the community. There was a group of girls who were also seniors like I am, and so it was really interesting having conversations with them and realizing that a lot of the same issues or like social issues that I've gone through as a high school student, they have too. They like to have fun, they like to hang out with their friends, like they're not much different than we are, so it was really interesting to get to compare those experiences, because obviously these girls are not living in a city, they're living in small houses, they're working on their family farms, they're doing a lot of different things, yet their social interactions are pretty much the same. So it was really cool to be able to talk with them and kind of compare our experiences.
And speaking of talking, I strong-armed a group of four of our students and four of the young ladies from the community. I said, hey guys, you're having this cool interaction conversation. Why don't you sit down and perhaps we can share this with our class. So my classes now have seen this, and they're on my world famous YouTube channel. But here we have some of our students in action. The sound is going to work.
Did they speak English, or did they try to speak English to you at all? So were they taking English language?
They were taking an English class, but they were also taking, I think it was French, and they would be at what we would consider Spanish 1 at the school, so learning colors, numbers. They were not merely conversational. So it was really, Luis was one of the few people who spoke English that we met while we were on the trip.
He was our tour guide.
We have many, many pictures and more videos, and we could go on and on and on, but we'd love to answer any questions you have, or if you'd like to hear more about a specific aspect about our experience.
How long was the trip?
7 days,
was
it? 7 or 8 days. Were you anxious to get home, or would you rather spend another week there?
When I left, I kind of felt, I missed it a lot, because it was, it's a different way of living, I kind of used to it, so coming back to slower is a little different.
I feel like there was still so much that we could have seen done with the community that I would have loved to have a chance to stay longer just to be more involved with them even more than we were.
But at the same time, I did feel satisfied with the trip. Like, it didn't feel like anything that we had seen was rushed or anything that was like...
Full day. But there's our basic itinerary that starts in the capital, Santo Domingo, gives you a little orientation, little history lesson, tour of the Rolling Hill District, and then 4 days in the Central Mountain region in the outskirts of a town called Jarabacoa, and that's where we did our service work, and that's where they studied the mountains, because we were up there at an elevation of 6,000 feet. And then the last two nights were spent in the second largest city in the country, Santiago.
Is the gray area Haiti?
It is.
Did you have any sense of how the earthquake affected the mountain region where you worked?
Apparently it's very, very different. His wife's sister, Alyssa, came with us, and she has traveled to Haiti many, many times, and she just kept saying, wow, I can't believe how different this side of the island is. Like, she just kept saying that it's a completely different story, which is really interesting to hear about.
How did the freshmen make out with language? Because you had a couple first year.
So they had a lot of help, honestly. Okay.
A big part of the trip also was like learning to rely on not the teachers but each other. So like I helped Connor because he was having a conversation with our bus driver. They both do karate. He's a sophomore.
I'm a sophomore.
So our last night.
And I'll tell you, Raphael was hard to understand. We were even Luis, the local, was laughing at Raphael because of how quickly he spoke, and sometimes Luis couldn't catch all of that. So very good that you were able to help him.
So a lot of times, what you'd see is like someone would go up to their friend, and they'd be like, "Hey, how would you say this?" And then they would do. It wouldn't be like I'd go up to Senor and be like, "Hey, can you ask this person this?" It's, "How would I say this?" Senor would tell me. I would go up and I'd do my best to have the conversation, and that's basically what everyone did on the trip. I don't think a single person went in or stayed inside their comfort zone linguistically. Even people who were native Spanish speakers were going out and really exerting themselves.
In terms of, so you, Austin, you've been on both tours.
Yes.
Do you have, as a group, any kind of thoughts or recommendations? And I don't even know if I want to use the word recommendation, in terms of if people in this school, for instance, are going to be going on tours, would it be an either or a both, or?
Service learning versus,
versus touring.
Tourism.
Just tourism. Do you have any thoughts on that? I'm just asking.
Well, I think having both options is probably a good idea, only because if you exclude one or the other, you are kind of excluding. Like, I feel like the group that went on this service learning trip, like, we were such a diverse group. All of us didn't really know each other. None of us, I mean, Austin and I were the only seniors, so it was kind of interesting bringing this group together because we never would have been brought together had we not gone on this trip. So I think both present totally different opportunities that it would be hard to say one is better than the other.
Speaking from personal experience, very few, in my opinion, people would enjoy both types of trips.
Yeah.
There are many people on the Europe trip who would gladly do a similar trip again because that is the kind of person that they are, and that's the kind of trip that they enjoy. And there are many people on the Dominican Republic trip who I know would love to do another service learning trip. Like, Sarah and I were asking Senor if he ever needs extra chaperones. Drive down from college and be there.
That's scary.
So I think they're two very fun and interesting experiences and something that I definitely do not regret and very thankful for, but they are not interchangeable, I think.
What were some of the service projects that you did?
We planted trees. We planted over, I believe it was about 150 redwood trees, and the man we did it with said it would take him roughly 3 days to do it, but we completed the task in 30 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, there
were
so many trees.
And then
you were so much faster because of your numbers.
Yeah, we had a lot of numbers.
And then another service project was building, making the signs around the community. While it was actually, it was a fun experience, and watching everyone nail off the signs to the trees was very fun too.
Using your resources.
That was another service project we did, and I think that we were tearing down old signs and putting up new ones, and it was really just to show the community, hey, people still do care about this, so you should really think twice before throwing stuff on the side of the road.
We also did a trash pickup. We went up and down the main road that went like through the community up the mountain, and we probably gathered like 8 to 10 trash bags full. It was crazy.
Anyone else?
Thank you.
Thanks for taking your time.
Thank you for
loving
us. So first of all, on May 2nd we had our destination day, which we all got up on stage and said where we go. And then we walked through the school and everyone congratulated us. It was a very nice experience. Also, last weekend the play happened. It was amazing. Over 800 people came and watched.
Yes.
Also, today was our last IB exam. It was a Spanish exam, so all that was very nice. Tomorrow there's a sports awards dinner, or not dinner, dessert thing. I don't know, presentation, I'm not sure. And then the senior dinner is the 31st. The NHS is having a food drive until the 19th, so any canned goods, they're going to a church and then going to be distributed throughout Sussex County. TSA and Leo Club have a sort of community service trip on Wednesday the 24th. Earlier in the year, Kelly Lindsay, one of our seniors, had a past project collecting shoes to send to, I think, Zimbabwe or somewhere far away. And we're having a walk without shoes to kind of experience what that's like. I think some of us are going to have really heavy backpacks on, just kind of get an idea of what that way of life is like. Prom is the 25th, and graduation is the 2nd, and I think that's about it. Also, I just wanted to thank you guys for letting me come in and update you everyone. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
This is one of your first too, because this is a new tradition. Okay, just coming in and giving the board an update, and we appreciate your being here, and also
wish you
the very, very, very best. And I know you're going to have an exciting year beyond. And thank you for having been a student here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Julia.
We are going to have an aquatics update. Is that not? We are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hello. I am not going to go over everything, but this is a summary of a lot of the information that's going on at the pool right now. I brought some extra flyers, so if you want to take some flyers that you want to post around your community or library or fitness center or someplace that you frequent a lot or that you know where some of these flyers could be posted, that would help us a lot with marketing. Some of the flyers that I have up here are our May and our June calendar. Has our aquatic classes, our swim lessons on there, our rentals when lap and open swim is available. So it's just our calendar of what's going on for May and June. Our fee flyer, and we do have summer rates, which is new. We have our swim lesson description flyer, and I did bring swim lesson registration forms if you have neighbors with kids or anybody who has expressed interest in that. We also are starting an aquatic camp this summer for kids. So if you do know if your kids go to, someplace where they play a lot or where they're around other kids or around other parents, if you want to take some of these and give these out, distribute these. This is something new that we're trying. Gotten a lot of positive feedback so far. No one's registered. We just got this out last week. But we have had a lot of positive feedback about that. And our Health Coalition flyer, this is an excellent partnership that we have. We had an open house last week. We are partners with the Health Coalition. They pay an instructor twice a week to offer aquatic classes, and then any agency that is part of the Health Coalition, like Indian River School District, our school district, I think a hospital, the First State Community Action, they can participate in our aquatic classes that are offered by the Health Coalition for free. And they have also been sending out our flyers, and the flyer goes out to over 500 businesses and individuals in the community. So being a part of that has been really good marketing tool for us. So just grab some flyers and distribute those if you want to before you leave. That would be great. Here's some examples of some of the marketing that we've done that have been in the paper. When we did the survey, that was the number one way that people had heard about us, was through the newspaper. So that seems to be the number one way that people are hearing about us. And then there's just some things that we have done. If there's some things that we haven't done that you think would be a good way to market the pool, please shoot me an email or give me a call, because we are open to any and all suggestions of things that we have not done already. Then the next page is just our membership breakdown, how many members we have in each category. And right now we have 70 members. And then the next page is our swim lessons, how many people are involved in our swim lessons, how many hours a week they're offered, how many people are in private lessons. And then the last page is a little bit about our staff and our rentals. Cheer comes to our facility 3 days a week. The Sussex Community Swim Team is running the facility, and then we also rent the facility for pool parties. So I do have that, and then there's extra copies in here if you want. And I can email you anything, or I could make more copies and bring to you if you have an upcoming event that you think we should attend or bring flyers to, etc. So that's all that I had, but I am open to questions. Yes, Jill?
Do you have any schools, neighboring schools, that have expressed an interest in having their kids, their swim team work out here, have meets here?
Just over Christmas, we had Indian River and Sussex Central here, and Delmarva Christian has expressed, but we haven't made any plans yet for the season. I'm not even sure when swim season starts.
November 15th.
November. So probably as it gets closer to that, we'll hear from them. Indian River and Sussex Central uses Ennis, and they don't have to pay for that, so I doubt if they would continue to rent it unless they needed us. But Delmarva Christian has expressed interest, and so far, that is the only schools that I have thought about of the swim teams.
You might want to reach out to Sussex Tech.
Sussex Tech, they briefly expressed, somebody had expressed interest last year, I don't remember who exactly, but we don't have anything confirmed up for the season.
You know, do you know, or Alan, do you know when teams start to think about where we're going to swim in the next season?
They're probably starting pretty soon thinking about it, because they're going to be, the athletic directors and so on, they start looking for, they're looking at coaches now or next year. Not just for swim, but they're looking there now. Starting to.
Yeah, I'll add that to my to-do list, Joe, to follow up with that, because that's a good idea.
Yeah, it seems to me if we called around and said, here's the hours that we have available during the week for practices or meets if it's afternoon,
sure,
that might stimulate thinking, well, this is going to be worth it to spend some money for this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Any other questions?
Are you going to be doing the Red Cross lifeguard course?
We do Ellis, and we have that June 9th through 11th. If anybody's interested, I can send them a flyer that has the dates, but it's June 9th, 10th, and 11th, Friday through Sunday.
Why are you not doing Red Cross?
Because our pool's not deep enough to run the class. If we ran CPR, we'd have to rent another facility to do the deep water part.
Does Ellis include the CPR?
Yes, and first aid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had one class in May, and our next class is in June.
And we're also offering a lifeguarding class here as part of our schedule.
And we are offering I can't remember the name, Simon. We're lifeguarding and what's the
swimming
other?
Swimming.
Yeah.
Swimming conditioning.
Yes.
And water fitness.
And we're also we haven't worked out the details, but we're also going to offer swimming in some capacity as part of our middle school phys ed program. Mm-hmm. We haven't figured out the details, but we'll have it figured out by the time we need to.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. Thanks.
The only other thing, we talked about upcoming events. You have a little one-pager in your information about upcoming school events. Particularly as you as board members want to know about I don't know if we've sent out any kind of official invitation about the prom. If you're really dying to go,
Let us know.
You're really encouraging us,
aren't you? No.
I just don't know if it's something that, Steve, you would never be forgiven.
Yeah, I'm going to be there for sure.
Oh, yeah, you are. But if you really want to go in terms of sit down and eat, please let us know. Probably yesterday. I don't know what the... But if you do want to go, let us know. Let us know, let Gina know, and we'll figure out how to handle it, okay? But don't wait too long because your seat will be taken. Mm-hmm. The other I think elements here that I think really are important for board participation insofar as we can get that, one is the senior awards dinner, and that is at 6 o'clock on the 31st. Again, that is every senior will be recognized at that dinner. Then is graduation. Graduation officially starts at 7 o'clock. However, at 6:30, there will be a video of the seniors going on in the auditorium. You all won't have an opportunity to see that video at that time because I would anticipate that you're coming in and you're going down to somebody's room. Sarah Messina's, we'll put it in an email to you what room to report. We're also going to have a parking. We've got to figure out what we're doing about parking. So there's going to be a plan for that. So please stay tuned, and I would really appreciate it if you would pay attention to where we've suggested you park. I would suggest that you get here sometime about 6:30-ish, okay? Because I want everything to go off without a hitch, excuse me. And I'm kind of I'm nervous about it, not apprehensive, but we want to make sure this is very, very, very well done. This is our first venture, and we want to make it tremendous for the kids. So you will process and you will recess as well. Go ahead, Gina.
So if you could all please email me and let me know if you will be attending commencement, because that's important for us for this procession as well as reserving seats.
I know we have a show of hands of the board members that are planning to attend right here.
I was just going to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
In Alamo?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you need names. Put our hands down too fast.
Also, middle school, we will have middle school moving up ceremony, and middle school has a luncheon as well. That will be held at the Sands Motel and the middle school ceremony. And please be here no later than 8:45 for the middle school ceremony.
Where's it going to be?
Where?
You said the Sands Hotel?
No, the lunch, they have a luncheon with a dance. That's at the Sands Motel on June the 8th. And then on the 9th, they have moving up. That's here.
Okay. What's the time frame on that one?
On the moving up? Mm-hmm. It will start promptly at 9, and it will be done probably by 10:15. So, usually 10:15, 10:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just about an hour.
10:30 is the latest.
And then Kate.
But it's going to be more like, it'll be more like an hour and 15 minutes.
Depends if a student steals my quote or not.
That was so funny.
It was. I didn't know I was going to do that till the night before, so I had to put something together real quick.
Great minds think alike.
They do.
Alan, you're on for May 1 unit counts.
May 1, we had 749 students registered, enrolled for next year. Actually, we had more than that, but that's only, they were the ones living in the state of Delaware. We have three that are from out of state. And we had 42.65 units.
Can you indulge me with the number by grade, please?
Ay, ay, ay.
125, 125, 132. Pretty much I'm doing memory. 125, 125, 132. 52 for term.
You got an enrollee yesterday, didn't you?
That's what they call me.
Today.
I don't have them with me.
Okay.
I had them yesterday.
How many ninth graders, do you remember that?
It was 120.
120 ninth graders?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's great.
But 117 bring money.
Oh, three are out of state.
Sixth, seventh, and eighth, my memory from yesterday was 125, 125, 132.
Yeah, that sounds good.
132 is the last number on the eighth, so that makes sense.
Okay. 58 in grade 12, 88 in grade 11, 106, 103 in grade 10. There you go.
Okay.
That may not add up to
that's fine. That's
749,
fine.
But it's going to be close.
That's great. 58.
How many of the 120? Any ninth grade or existing eighth grade students?
72% of them.
Yeah.
It was 93.
So last year, so it's 74%.
Yeah.
This year. Last year was 54%, Joe. That's good.
That'll keep improving, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Good, good, good.
We've had preliminary conversations with the Department of Education Charter School Office that we don't ever expect it to be 100%.
Staying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just because of some of the programs that we're not planning to have in mm-hmm. place because of the size.
Yeah.
And so.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Anything else? Great.
Mm-mm.
Trish?
Yeah, sorry. It's okay. I was thinking.
You have a abbreviated set of reports this month. The Finance Committee met yesterday, so sort of knowing that they've been through all of the packet in detail, the 9 pages. So what I've given you now are some of the summary pages and highlighting some things I wanted to point out. It gets a little confusing, I think, at times when you see negative net amounts at the end of each month because of the way our revenue comes in. So I'm just highlighting on the first page what our net is currently. It's a profit of 1429. And we've expended approximately 81% of our budget. We should be at 83.3, so we're about 2% ahead in terms of not spending as much as we thought we would. On page 2, I've highlighted that we've collected at this point about $40,000 more in revenue than we had anticipated we would be bringing in this year. And that 2.05% right now is about $152,000 of potential surplus or carryover.
So about 200,000 of overage showing.
So the 40,000 is in addition to the 152?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At the bottom of that page, Alan, mm-hmm. the contingency reserve doesn't count anything from this year, or does?
No, it does not. It's just as of June 30th, 2016.
Okay, so that's all the way back to then. So if you added 150,000 or something like that, that number would go up to 181.
Mm-hmm.
What's the highest it's ever been?
It's the highest. This is the highest it's ever been. And when we talk about the minutes from our meeting, I'm going to make some suggestions related to the carryover. There's nothing highlighted on the next page. It's the one that shows each appropriation that we have, what the current balance is, when it expires, including all of our checking accounts. And then on the last page is the one that goes on our website. I've pulled out a few things. Health insurance was included in salaries and benefits, and I thought it was important for that to carry its own line. just so you can see what, how much we're spending for health insurance for the staff, because it's a very significant amount. And then I also wanted to pull technology and IT support out of the instructional materials line, instructional supplies line, for the same reason. We're paying probably $2,500 to $3,000 a month in IT support.
Is that to an outside party?
Yes. Yes. And he does a great job. He was here Monday morning. We don't have very many Windows-based machines, but he was here making sure they had the patches so they wouldn't be vulnerable to the cyber attack that took place over the weekend. So he's very proactive.
Does that number include labor and materials, or just labor?
That includes the computers we bought this year. So the iPads would be in there, the iMacs, or the MacBooks for the teaching staff, stuff we bought for the middle school. Any questions?
You gotta go on to the projected